bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 373 and thereof stanzas 1 and 9. O praise ye the name of Jehovah, proclaim ye his glory abroad. O praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. 1 and 9 of Psalter 373.
Chapter 13, beginning at verse 14, but first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 14 to the end. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John at first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge thee, that thou dost bring us up unto thy house, that thou dost continue our lives, that thou dost give us another day, but that thou also dost continue thy holy days, and that thou also dost continue to give unto us men who may study in our own theological school, and who may go forth when thou wilt give it in due time to bring thy holy word off of the pulpits of our congregations for the generations that are to come. We have heard it out of thy holy word in these moments, that when David had served his generation by the will of God, he did fall on sleep. And then thou didst take him away, and thou didst leave there a place, an empty place among men. But thou dost not leave those places empty. And thou dost give men to follow them, because David was dead and buried. But thou hast said that thou wouldest give thy people the sure mercies of David, and they are to be given unto thy flock, even unto the end of the world. And then it is necessary that there also be those who are raised up by thee. Lord, we may try in our hearts to acknowledge thee. We take thy blessing so for granted, but wilt thou humble us under thy great gifts? And wilt thou go with this man because and thou knowest what he stands in need of? We are all but men, and he a man who has now to begin his studies, and that will be for him in a natural way difficult. Lord, wilt thou be on his right and on his left, and wilt thou care for them as a family also in the months that are to come, in the great changes of their life, that thou mayst supply for all of their needs. Oh, do give in the midst of us those who may also have work with these things, because thou knowest our youth and the rising generation. And Lord, thou knowest the solemnity of thy work, the work of preaching thy holy word. Then it must be by men whom thou dost choose. It must be according to thy will, if it is to receive thy blessing. And we are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention. But wilt thou look upon us in thy mercy? We are traveling quickly to our long home. It is a short journey, and between the cradle and the grave, and we are born dead. In sins and in trespasses, there needs to be a miracle, a wonder, and that happens in our life. Oh, we need a new life. We need a new heart. We need a new disposition. We need a renewed will. And we need a new desires and affections. Oh, we need new longings. We need the old to be cut off and the new to be born. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, do it in the smallest of us. Do it in the oldest of us, because thou art a God and thou art almighty, all powerful. And it is thy own kingdom that thou wilt bring in. Oh, thou knowest how many Satan has. And Lord, shall he then have us and our children as well? Oh, that thou would take us by heart and by hand. Oh, show us the vanity of the world and of all that is of this life, and how short and how unhappy that a man is with all that he has in this world. Oh, that we may be given to see that there is but one comfort in life and in death, and that we may be given to know that comfort, to seek after it and to find it. And while it is to be found, oh, bind the seriousness of life upon our vain and carnal hearts. Do bless thy word to that end, in the midst of the mission field, in the midst of the churches, the established churches. Increase the number of thy sent servants, of office bearers, help fathers and mothers. Give us also teachers in our schools, because thou knowest the draught that is also there. Lord, and there are so many open places where there is such a great need. Oh, bind it also upon our young people. May it be in a special way upon our young men, that they may be given to feel that need. Oh, that thy spirit may work, that that need may be bound upon their hearts. Oh, that they may have a desire to be used as a little tool in thy holy fingers, also for thy kingdom. Oh, that those desires may burn in their young hearts, and that thou may give, that they may give themselves to those studies which are so necessary. Oh, that thou may put away all the devices of the prince of darkness, for he fights for our children. He battles for our youth. O Lord, remember us then in thy mercy. Give us prayer and give us supplication and give us an inner chamber. Oh, that the need of our own souls may be so bound upon our hearts and the souls of our loved ones. And wilt thou care for the afflicted and the needy in mind and in body, in all the needs and cares of this world, of family life, of the labors in our places of work, where there are businesses, where there are farmers, where there are laborers, each one laboring in his place in this world, that they may be able to support their families and all the causes that have to do with thy kingdom. Oh, give open hearts for these things, that we may desire not to follow after vanity, but that thy kingdom and thy cause may be burning within our hearts. Remember all that rule and reign over us. O Lord, give men also in those places that may fear thy name, that may do according to thy holy word, that may lead us according to thy revealed will, and that thou may guide all things according to thy secret will, and bring in thy kingdom here below also amongst us. Wilt thou care for all that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world? Wilt thou be on the right and on the left in a special way when there are wars, when there are difficulties, when there are persecutions, when there are afflictions? Wilt thou thyself care for them and give that the needs may bring to thy footstool, that men may know that thou livest and that thou sittest on the right hand of power, and that Satan, though he goes about as an angel of light and as a roaring lion, does not have his own way? Wilt thou remember all those that help the needy, doctors, nurses, first responders, care for all that place themselves in dangers for the sake of others? Wilt thou give selflessness, and wilt thou give safety also, and help and courage in the places where that thou dost bring them, and give that each one in the place that we have in this world may do our duty, and that we may do it with love in our heart unto thee above all, and our neighbor as ourself? Wilt thou take away our many sins? Oh, give to us an eye to look upon thee in all our guilt and in all our corruption, and that we may desire that free and that sovereign grace also to be applied unto us in a personal way. For what profit if we have come and gone from the place of the holy all our life long, with all our religion in an outward way, but we have not profited for our soul? O Lord, remember us then in this hour. Give us a little opening out of thy holy word, and that we may be enabled to bring forth new and old things from thy scriptures, and that thou may bless us, and that thou may come among us, that thou may dwell with us and within us, and take away all that is wrong. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till thy house he should prepare. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 367. Thank you. beloved congregation, we have been very gladdened in this past week with the opening again of our theological school by the acceptance of a new ministerial student. That is, congregation, a very significant matter. That is not only significant in the church, it is actually also very significant even in the world, in the whole world, and that God's servants are called and that are sent out by Him into the midst of this world. Why? Because Paul says, for whosoever, that is, Jew or Gentile, shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Whosoever. Then it makes no difference, we read in God's word, anymore, whether that is of the Jewish people or of the Gentile people. But the Apostle Paul says more. He says, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Thus there is no calling upon the Lord except that a man believes. Thus the true calling upon Him that is proceeding out of faith, of true saving faith. There are many that do profess faith, but the Bible says then that they are not actually callers. They are actually not those that cry unto Him, because how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And then there are others who would not call it faith, but they just have a need. They just have a burden. We think about that woman who did plead with that unjust judge. And so the Lord Jesus says of His own elect, that is His own people, He says that they cry day and night unto Him, though that the Lord is bearing long, though they have to cry unto Him for a long time, that continual crying. That is what the Lord Jesus spoke about, a continual crying. Is there such a continual crying? Also maybe in the secret chambers of those who are here members of our congregation, because that continual crying out of that need, that is what the Lord Jesus says is proceeding out of faith. And Paul says, how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except that they be sent? Thus we have the significance of the acceptance of a ministerial student into our theological school. What is that significance? It is, oh, that we hope that has begun in heaven, that it has begun in heaven, and that there is a need, that there is a purpose, because the Lord does from heaven. He looks from heaven, we read in God's word, upon the earth. And there upon the earth, and He sees those who are in need. He humbles Himself to behold the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. And when the Lord says there is one who is going on His own way, there is one who needs to be stopped, or there is one who has a burden, oh, then the Lord is going before to give men to bring that whole holy word of His. Our text, congregation, for this afternoon can be found in the portion read to you, Acts 13, and thereof the 42nd verse. Acts 13, verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So far, the words of our text, which speaks about beseeching for preaching. They besought that these words might be preached, thus beseeching for preaching. First, by whom? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought. So by whom? Who was beseeching for the preaching? And second, about what? The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So these words, we want to see what those words were. About what do they want to hear it again? Beseeching for preaching, first by whom, and second about what? And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, or maybe it says, because it is a translation, of course, that is not an easy work to translate the scriptures. Maybe, apparently, when they were gone out of the synagogue of the Jews, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, or when they, the apostles perhaps, were gone out of the synagogue of the Jews, but evidently it is when the Gentiles, the Jews and the Gentiles, they were not together anymore. So the Gentiles, they are no longer in the presence of these Jews. Thus it is likely that those Gentiles have felt somewhat intimidated by these Jews. Their desires were not the same as the desires of the Jews. Say they were all in God's house. They were all in the synagogue. But the desires of those Jews and the desires of those Gentiles, we read here, are different. But those Gentiles are in the synagogue of the Jews. And thus, well, then there seems to have been within them some intimidation. They did not dare to ask when those Jews were present, but they are waiting until those Jews are gone, because those Gentiles do not have the same status in that synagogue. They do not have the same rights in that synagogue. So we do not really have the right to ask. You ever feel that? When you come before the Lord, did you ever lose all your status before the Lord, all your rights before the Lord? You are just an outsider, just a Gentile, just a sinful person. Actually, who am I even to ask that I would even supplicate unto that holy and that righteous God, whom I have left in my father Adam, and my whole life shows that I have no desire for him. Oh, do you in such a way, even as these Jews come with your supplication, these Gentiles, and they wait until they are not in the presence of those Jews. And then we read, they besought Paul and Barnabas to preach again. They want them to preach the next Sabbath day, we read. Maybe they perceived also something of the animosity of these Jews against the apostles. There is whispering, at least, probably, and some talking against what the apostles are saying already. And then they perceive, oh, then they are afraid of something. They are afraid that Paul and Barnabas are going to go away. They're afraid that they are not going to come back. You ever afraid of that? You ever afraid that there is no services anymore? That you could not hear the word of God? You are ever afraid there are places in the world and where there is no opportunity anymore to hear that word of God? And so they beseech them, what that word means, to entreat them. They beg them. So there is an urgency that is living in their heart, an urgency in the desires of their heart. They are not just asking them, oh, will you, maybe you can come again next week. No, they will not let Paul and Barnabas say no. The word means to strive with them. They are beseeching them. And that they would return again. So we hear the strength of their desires. So what is now the strength of our desire? To hear the preaching or the reading. What is the strength? How strong is that living in our heart? That we may hear that preaching of that word of God. Or is there not really any strength to that at all? Maybe we just come out of form. We were supposed to do that. So we did that since we were a little child. And we do that every Sabbath day again. And well, if it is, it is. And if it is not, well, then it is not. Is that the way it is in our heart? That was not the way that it was here. Because if the Lord gives us boys and girls a new heart, then there are new desires. Then there are new longings in our hearts. Do you have new longings in your heart? Longings for things that are not in the world? Because we all have those longings for all the vanity of this world. But are there also other longings? That to fill your heart sometimes for the house of the Lord. We sing that sometimes. That is so beautiful. What is living in the heart of the psalmist? The desires to go up unto that house of God when he was banished from that house and far away from that temple of the Lord. Then he could not do without the Lord and his house. David says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Is there something in your own heart that does the same as that heart of David? Do we know something of those new desires? And they are known by that new life. They are a mark, not an infallible mark. No, but they are a mark of that new life that is not missing. Because that is beginning, if the Lord will begin with us when we are very young, or if the Lord will begin with us when we are very old, then it will be the same. And then that desire for that house of the Lord is going to live and it is going to burn within our hearts. We say, no, not infallible, because it can be that there are other reasons that we like to come here. Maybe just there are social reasons, because that's very nice, right? And come together and we can see one another, meet one another. Well, then we are social creatures. And so man likes to be together with one another. That is very, very human and very delightful. But the Apostle Paul quotes the prophet Isaiah, and he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that to bring the gospel and publish peace. Their feet are beautiful. Beautiful feet. What does that mean? Well, the feet, with your feet you come. So he says, it was so beautiful then to see that the Lord was sending a man to come and to preach and to bring his own word. He's speaking about the ministers of the word of God, the preachers of the gospel. Their very coming is very beautiful. Oh, do we see that so today? When we may hear that the Lord is sending a man, that the Lord is living, that the Lord is sitting upon his throne, that the Lord is looking after his church. Oh, that we also may be so glad and with the feet of them that will publish peace in the midst of his church. There are some that do say, young people, I think not among us, but there are people, they say, well, when we come to the church, we really should have some coffee. Some coffee. And maybe we should have a little time that we can meet together. Is that what is maybe living in your heart? Because there are many places that do that. And then after a little while, well, then the sermon, that should be a little bit shorter. And then that time to gather together, that should be a little bit longer. Oh, was that now the desire of those in whom there is a new life? It is not so, because they do not come to that house of God for a social hour that they may gather and talk about everything after that service. No, what do they come for? Well, they come for the preaching, because they come for food. They come not for natural food. No, they come for soul food. Do you come here for soul food? Do you have a soul? Does that soul live? If your soul is dead, your soul does not need to eat and to drink. But if your soul lives, then your soul needs to eat or to drink. Otherwise, your soul will die. And thus, they come to hear something from the Lord. They desire, they come up to the house of the Lord. They say, Lord, wilt thou speak unto my soul? Wilt thou say unto my soul, I am thy salvation? Wilt thou open thy word to me? Wilt thou give me a little light in my darkness? Those are the things that are living and burning in their hearts when they are coming into that house of the Lord. What do we read of these Gentiles? They besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Oh, they looked for them, and they were longing for those words the next Sabbath day. Again, do we also long that that preaching, when that preaching goes out, that we are longing for that preaching to take place again? That is, congregation, we read here the Lord's work. The Lord makes his people to hunger after that word, his word. Think about that eunuch. And he was going away from Jerusalem. And what was he doing? He was reading. He was reading. He was not in God's house anymore. He was going home. And he was using that time in his chariot. You say, well, just let him go home first. No. Oh, he's using that time so wisely in his chariot. And what are you doing? What are you doing tonight after the service? Or maybe you say, I listen to one of the other services. That is good. That's all available today. Or maybe you say, I'm reading. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm reading what is based upon that holy word. Are you doing the same as that eunuch? Because in him there was a need. And that man, as he was doing this, had a problem. And what was that problem? He did not understand it. He did not understand it, that word of God. You read that word of God. Do you understand it? Oh, you say sometimes it is very difficult, isn't it? Very difficult. Yeah. Apostle Peter says that too. Many things that are hard to be understood in that word of God. And that is why, that is the reason that the Lord is sending servants, that he is sending men that they may preach. Thus the Lord is not just publishing his word in the world. No, because the Lord could do that too. Just publish his word, his gospel, and let that word go out into all the world and everyone can read it. That is good, that is good. But the Lord is doing more. More, because it is especially not just by the reading, but that the Lord has instituted the preaching, the explanation and the application of his holy word by the voice of men. And the apostle calls it the foolishness of preaching. And it is in this way that the Lord is gathering his kingdom here below. But the eunuch was not just doing a duty. He says, well, now I need to read something. That is good when you do your duty today. When you're going to read something and spend your time on the Sabbath day rightly. But is it just a duty? It was not just his duty. He had a need in his heart. The need in his heart. And that need was not fulfilled. Do you have a need in your heart? That you need, you say, I need to know. I have a soul. And I need to know what is now the meaning of that holy word of God. And that is now what that eunuch was doing in his chariot. He did not understand. Understandest thou what thou readest? He says, how can I? How can I understand? Except some men should guide me. Thus he felt the need of that institution of the Lord, that the Lord would give men who would give guidance unto those who do not understand that word. To open up the mysteries that the Lord may show it unto those apostles and the Lord that the apostles may preach that then unto men. And he calls men to preach, not angels to preach. No, they are men. What do they preach? His word. They are not actors. We are not sent here to act for you. No. Do you look for that, young people? Do you look for an actor on the pulpit? Or do you look for great oratorical skills on the pulpit? Is that what you look for? Then you say, I want to hear that preaching of the word of God. I want to go here because that is more pleasant to hear, pleasant sound. And over there, well, no. The Lord does not send men for such a purpose. The Apostle Paul, there were men who despised him. They said, his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Whatever that was. Does not sound as if the Apostle Paul was such a beautiful orator in an outward way. Despised by men. But the Lord has used him for the conversion of many people. Thus the Lord is sending his servants. Not that they may preach themselves, but that they may preach his holy word in a plain way. Just that everyone may understand it. To explain it and to urge a man. To urge a man. To seek while the Lord is to be found. That it may be bound upon the consciences of men. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. So those Gentiles are drinking it in. Oh, they are listening, and the Gentiles, they cannot get enough of it. What were those words then that those apostles were speaking? Because you say they must have been quite the words. If these Gentiles, if we would say these worldly people, they want to hear those words spoken to them again. Indeed, yes, they were very special words. They were words that drew their hearts. Maybe, young people, there are other things that draw your hearts. Maybe you like to watch a movie. A movie. You do those things on that phone. You say, I need a phone, mother, father. Yes, okay. But what are you doing with it? Because the devil is there. Is that a temptation to you? To watch what is sinful? You say, I do not watch sinful movies. I watch good movies. Is there such a thing? A good movie? Or are movies wrong to begin with? The acting of man, one man who pretends to be another man. You know what the word is? That is to be a hypocrite. The very basis of it is sinful. The very basis of it is wrong. Have nothing to do with that. You want to live with the devil on the earth? You want to spend time with the devil in the world? Then we will spend eternity also with the devil. Here are people from the Greek world. Greek world, known for its amphitheaters and for its sports. Love all those sports? That was the Greek world. Now they've heard the preaching. And you know what they did not say? Oh, let us go next Sunday to the amphitheater. Oh, we can't wait till the morning, because then we can go watch our sports again. They didn't say that. No, because the Lord was there. And the Spirit of the Lord is working through that preaching of his apostles. And then they hear it. And then they are saying, away, world. They're saying, away movies. They're saying, away amphitheater. They're saying, away sports. Oh, they are beseeching, they are begging the servants of the Lord that they will come again the next Sabbath day and that they will preach these same words unto them. And what were these same words then? And what is that preaching that they were beseeching them for? What were they? What was the apostle preaching about? He says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. So let us stop here just a moment. And everyone look in our own heart. For just a moment. How many of us have an urgent desire? An urgent desire living in our hearts. That we might know how our sins, how my sins may be forgiven. Should we meditate on that a moment? Everyone in a personal way. This is what Paul was preaching about the forgiveness of sins. And that is the matter that these Gentiles desired. Said, we want to hear about this thing again. What does this man speak about? We have not heard this in the amphitheater. We have not heard this on the field of sports. No, but we have heard this under the preaching of that holy word of God. The forgiveness of sins, and they are beseeching them for this. So one time was not enough. No, they have heard it once. They say, I do not know yet what this is. They cannot get enough of it. Is that so with you too? You've heard of this. Do you say, oh, could I know? Could I know? Children, does not have to be mother and father. This can be in our youth. In our youth. That we are waiting and coming up to the house of the Lord. Because we want to know how that is. That I can be forgiven. What I have done. What I have said. What I've thought and who that I am and how can I be changed? How can I be made into a new person? What a powerful thing that the Lord is doing through the preaching. No, that is not because of the preaching itself, but the Lord owns it. It is not our institution. It is the Lord's institution. We only go according to his command. And the Lord says, when you do according to my command, and you bring my word, then I will own it. And I will use it. And I will bring that into the hearts of men, thus to despise that preaching, no matter who that is. To despise that preaching or the sacraments. They cannot give us something, no. But it is the Lord's institution. And thus when we despise the institution of the Lord, we stand on a very, very dangerous ground. The forgiveness of sins. By nature, we have no concern for this. Now the Lord is binding it through the preaching on these Gentiles. The Lord is making room. He is working. He is making room in the hearts of these Gentiles for the preaching of his own name. But let us sing first Psalter 71, stanzas 3 and 4. My one request has been, and still this prayer I raise, that I may dwell within God's house through all my days. Jehovah's beauty to admire, and in his temple to inquire. 3 and 4 of Psalter 71. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Thus, these words, what were those words? They were words, congregation of truth, of truth. And these were Gentiles. They did not know so much of truth, did they? But there was something of truth that did strike them, that they want to hear what truth is. Again, they are also words of substance. And what are those Gentiles used to in that Greek world? They are in a world of great vanity, of emptiness, and they have felt something. Do you ever feel something? You come out of the world during the week, and you may come now on the Sabbath day in that house of God. And then you feel something, young people. You feel that here is something different than the world can give me. Here is something that has a foundation that is solid. Here is something that is going to last forever and forever when this whole world is gone. And when all the elements of this world are burnt up, thus they hear truth. They hear substance in that house of God. And then the Lord is giving that they desire to hear that truth and that substance again. You know what else they hear? They hear a warning. A warning. Paul says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Thus they hear a warning about despising the preaching. No wise will a man ever believe it as the natural man. He will in no wise, even though it is declared unto him by God's servants, it will not enter into his heart. Those words were not spoken directly, actually, to the Gentiles. Actually, Paul is addressing the Jewish people, but those Gentiles are there, and those Gentiles hear it. And then there is an arrow that is struck in the heart of those Gentiles, because when the Lord is working, then congregation, we don't need a very harsh rebuke. We don't need that. Because if the Lord gives you a new heart, children, that new heart is very tender, very tender. And it becomes like clay in the hands of the Lord. Then there is just a reference. And when it is directed at someone else, like here, because these Gentiles were not guilty of the sin here that Paul is speaking about, that Jewish people that have crucified the Lord Jesus. But what happens in the life of his people, in that tenderness, they say, they are guilty, but it is always coming back here and me. I am guilty also. Thus, there is a conviction that is going in the heart of these Jews. And thus, when the Apostle Paul begins to speak here about the forgiveness of sins, then there is a place that the Lord is making in the heart of these Gentiles for the name of his only begotten Son. Oh, then there is a certain hope. A hope that is coming in their hearts. And that's why those Gentiles, they want to hear that word again. These words, the same words, the same matter. You want to hear the same words, the same matter again, or are you tired? Are you tired of hearing the same things over and over and over again? But we have only one need, and there is only one name, and there is only one way. And therefore we have only one thing to say. What can God's servants bring? But only that narrow, that straight gate, and that narrow way that is leading unto life. And now these Gentiles, they hear it once. What do they hear about? They hear about forgiveness. So what do they say? Do they say, well, now I am forgiven. I've heard about forgiveness. That is what we hear today. And so they are done. They do not need to hear it again. No, they are not forgiven. Thus the Lord is leading step by step. Through that same word, He is giving a certain light. He is opening something to those Gentiles with that word. And then through that same word later, when there is more room, oh, then they are receiving also more light into that word, because that word of the Lord is so very, very full. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Unto you. Yeah, but they're the Gentiles. You say, well, that is preaching really, really there unto those Jews. That is for God's people. But that is not for us. Because He has died for them. So they are on the outside of it. You ever feel that too? Like those Gentiles? You say that is now for God's people. The message is coming to them. But I am a Gentile. And yet there is something sweet in it for you. What is that? Say, it is not for me. And yet you're coming again. Why are you coming again? Oh, you see. Yeah, there is something there. There is something there. I see a light. Yonder shining light. And I am on the outside of it, but I see something. There is something. There is something very precious there that is being spoken about by that servant of the Lord in that house of God. And so, congregation, we can be so on the outside of it. And yet there can be a burning that is welling up in our heart through this man, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, they hear that, the forgiveness of sins. But now, this man, who is this man? Do you ever ask that? Who is this man through whom is forgiven? Paul says, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. That is his preaching. The weakness of the law of Moses, the weakness of his ceremonial law to justify a man, the weakness of his moral law to justify a man. Or that finds a place that is finding a place in the heart of these Gentiles. That ever find a place in your heart? You ever hear something in that? The rich young ruler, he could do it with the law of Moses. The Lord Jesus said to him, he spoke about how weak that law of Moses was. He showed him that. He says, go sell it all. Go sell it all that you have done, all you're keeping. Give all to the poor. Come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Oh, he did not see that weakness in that law of Moses. And so there was no place for that word in his heart. And that became different now with these Gentiles. Paul speaks about the same thing as the Lord Jesus did. And they do not go away. They do not go away. But they ask if he will say it again on the next Sabbath day through this man. The forgiveness of sins, that is something new for these Gentiles. I've never heard that before. Do you know what that is? Do you remember the first time that you have heard that? I don't mean in a natural way, but I mean in your soul. First time, maybe 20, 40, 60, 80 years old. Going to God's house all your life long. And for the first time in your life, you heard it. Through this man, the forgiveness of sins. Then the Lord did not make them possessors, but the Lord made them missers. Missing it. They heard something they longed for. They desired to have, but they did not have. Do you not have it? Have you heard it? Do you desire it? Do you long for it? Do you miss it? Oh, then you come. Then you come with desire to hear that same word again. They did not know, these Gentiles, this man. But they hear of him through that preaching, by those men who are called by the Lord, who are sent by the Lord, and then the Lord is working a hunger and a thirst in their heart for this man, and that they also might be included, so that when the Jews are gone out of the synagogue, oh, they say to the apostles, will you come and preach that then unto us? Unto us, the Gentiles, once again, they besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. There you have the fruit. The fruit of that word of God in the heart of these Gentiles. And congregation, now we have a new student. And we are all so glad. Is there a place in our heart for the preaching? For the preaching. Because if there is a minister, hopefully after a few years, then he will preach. But if there is no room for the message, then what profit is it that this man will go forth in the midst of our congregations? Thus, what does that preaching now mean unto you? Oh, you come up faithfully. That is good to see. You do not stay away ever. Right, young people? Do not do that. It is the Lord's institution. You'll never know. Also the reading, that is also the preached word that has been preached, and that is what the Lord is using. And when that opportunity is there and we despise the opportunity, then we cannot blame the Lord. We can also only blame ourselves. And we do that to our own detriment. But congregation, do you come up to hear the preacher, or do you come up to hear the preaching? Because there is a great difference there. Preacher can give you nothing, but it is now the preaching. There was a stranger that came in here a few years ago, I understand, in the morning, and was listening. And one of you have said to him, come in the afternoon, because then we have a preacher. And then he said, I do not come to hear preachers. I come to hear the word. Does that not put us to shame? Oh, when we come to hear that word, and when there is a word that rebukes us, do we say, minister, say it again? Preach these things to us again. Next Sabbath day? Oh, do we bow under that word of God, because we are glad there is a student? But is there room for the preaching? And when that preaching shows to us something of our hypocrisy in our heart, do we become angry? Or do we say, minister, preach it to me again? And do we say, Lord, search me and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting? Oh, that is the way the Lord is doing it. That is the way the Lord is working. Then a man wants the truth, the hard truth. Because it is hard. We are fallen, dead, in sins and in trespasses. That is hard. But we need to know it. And when the Lord will give, oh, just a little light out of his holy word concerning that way of free sovereign grace, to open that for just a moment, just a little ray, a little ray in the darkness, then what is a man doing? A boy, a girl? Oh, he is coming. Sabbath after Sabbath day through that door. Oh, he is bowing. He is folding his hands. He is closing his eyes. He's saying, oh, Lord, that I might hear it again. And that same word, that same mercy, that same grace. Do you know that life? The life of longing for the preaching, a beseeching for the preaching. You know what we read here? That the next Sabbath day, almost the entire city came to hear that word of God. You say, how can that be? Well, that was the fruit of mission work. Paul was busy, you can be sure, in that city. But he cannot reach the whole city. You know who was busy? Those Gentiles. Oh, there was an arrow that has gone into their heart. There were Gentiles there that could not keep their mouth closed. There are Gentiles there that have gone to father and to mother and to son and to daughter. They said, oh, you know that life we live, that life of vanity, that life of emptiness, that life in the amphitheater, that life of sports, that life of party, oh, that vain, that carnal life we live. You know what we heard today? We heard truth. We heard substance. We heard about the forgiveness of our sins. Oh, in the love of their heart, with the desire of their heart, then they have said, come, come with me into that house of the Lord. Oh, did our heart ever burn so that we said that we could not keep our mouth closed unto our very neighbor here and there in this world, that our heart bled for them, every one of us. Bring one man into the church. We could not fit them all here. That was the mission work. That was not with training, though. That was because the Lord was working. And because that cup that could not be contained. And that everything was overflowing. So that there were more that were coming into that house of the Lord. Oh, you see how the Lord is working? Oh, does he work also in that same way? Then the apostles experience something. That is what the Lord Jesus says. Look on the fields. For they are white and they are ready to harvest. There was not among the Jews. The Jewish people have heard it so often in their life. They despise it. They left that synagogue. You can read in the next chapter. Oh, then they are blaspheming. They're contradicting. And then those Gentiles are coming. Oh, congregation, through this man. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What does that do in your heart? Do you then beseech that these same words may be preached unto you the next Sabbath? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou must bring it in our heart, because there is no form and there is no comeliness in thee, except that thou would open our poor blind eyes. O make room in our hearts for thy holy word, and give that the gladness that we may feel in these days may bring us truly in the dust of self-abasement before thee. Bring us safely to our homes. Keep us in this day. Give us to keep thy day holy. And that thou may remember us in the week, be with the children at school and the teachers in all the labors of their hands. Remember the couple that hope to be united in holy matrimony, also a day that thy word will be brought, that thou may give a desire and hunger for it, and wilt thou bless them and help in all those circumstances, care for all that travel in these days, remember all that receive treatments for diseases and for sicknesses of mind or of body, and be with the widows and all that have special needs. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 164, 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 164. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.